Money Radio, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Robert Keegan. He is a professor of adult learning and professional development at the Harvard University Graduate School of Education, has won numerous honorary degrees and awards in some 30 years of research and writing on adult development, and he is the author, co-author actually, along with Lisa Laskow Leahy, new book, An Everyone Culture, Becoming a Deliberately Developmental Organization, An Everyone Culture. Dr. Keegan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to be with you, Sinclair. I realize the title's a bit of a mouthful there.
It really is. We can just call it DDO.
That's what we call it, the Deliberately Developmental Organization, DDO.
And we're basically talking about how to become a world-class organization, and there seem to be two methods of getting there. One, you recruit and hire some of the best and brightest out there. The other is that you grow it more internally and organically, I suppose.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, if everyone's just trying to recruit talent from each other, if you're looking at it, you know, from 20,000 feet, it's a zero-sum game, and, you know, nobody's winning. So the real issue is if you wanted to make your company or your organization the most powerful incubator for growing and developing the capabilities of your people so that the people that you have become bigger and better versions of themselves, what would you do?
And that really is the idea here, because most businesses would say, yeah, we want to grow our people, but what's the theory behind it? What are the scientific foundations?
Yeah, exactly. So I my colleagues and I have spent a generation kind of studying adult development, studying the context that support development and that actually keep people from growing and developing. And the thing that we've come to is that in most organizations, people are doing a second job, you might say, for which no one is paying them. And that second job is basically looking good, hiding their weaknesses, managing other people's favorable impressions of them. And it seems like, you know, quote, it's only human nature. But that turns out to be a tremendous waste of energy. It doesn't do the individual workers any good, because the more you hide, the less likely you are to actually change and grow. And it doesn't do the company any good, because you're paying people a full-time salary for part-time work, and you're having to, you know, suffer their limitations without their changing them. So what is the alternative? The alternative is imagining a culture that felt safe enough that you would be able to affect a complete inversion of this. Instead of hiding your weaknesses or maybe sharing them only, you know, with a confidential advisor or something, you have the feeling that, you know, we hired you because we think you're good, not because we think you're perfect. We all need to keep growing and developing, and that's not going to happen unless we can support you not only for your strengths, but also support you for making visible your weaknesses, especially those moments of uncertainty and inadequacy, uncomfortable to be sure, but the places where you are most likely to be able to grow and change if we can build enough supports around you to, you know, help you make those moves.
So you're looking at weakness as a potential asset, but you even take it beyond that. Destabilization can be constructive. It almost sounds so counterintuitive. How do you actually get that done?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what most people say. I mean, so, you know, what we did was, you know, we looked at what the theory, you know, would tell us what would be the most rich environment, you know, for people to grow and develop in. And then we asked ourselves, is this just a professor's pipe dream, you know, or are there organizations that, you know, in their own ways have actually come to the same discovery? And so we searched the country pretty thoroughly. We have a lot of good context that helped us do that. And we came up with three organizations. Interestingly, very different different sectors and have very different styles to them. But what all three of them have in common is that they've basically figured out this idea that it took us 30 years of research, you know, to come to. And they are all places where life can be uncomfortable. I mean, you'll hear in all three of them people saying, I've had more painful and uncomfortable experiences here than any place else that I've worked in, but I would never work anywhere else.
How do companies then make that transition over to adopting this kind of information and becoming a deliberately developmental organization?
Well, I suppose the first and the most self-serving thing to say would be, read our book, An Everyone Culture. It just came out this week. But seriously, I mean, we didn't write it to get rich. You know, we wrote it to really share the stories of these three organizations, and it's filled kind of with all of their examples, the practices that they've developed, the ways that they make their settings more comfortable so that people can run these risks. So I think just getting to know, you know, what this looks like is probably, you know, the best start. And reading that book would probably be the best way to do it.
And really, when you think about it, is anything more valuable to a company than understanding the way its people spend their time and energy?
Yeah, exactly. And is anything more valuable to the individual? And, you know, maybe, and people are telling us, you know, maybe this is what millennials are most of all seeking, but is anything more valuable to any individual than feeling that work is a place where you are not only, you know, making your contributions, but where you're being helped to become a bigger and better version of yourself?
An Everyone Culture, Becoming a Deliberately Developmental Organization, co-author Robert Keegan joining us today. Dr. Keegan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sinclair.